Good morning, everyone, and welcome into another episode of the Found Generation Podcast, a podcast for young people. So good to be back today with another great conversation. This one is with my dear friend, Donna Conrad. Donna is a friend of mine from the University of Albany. We studied together, we had classes together, and most importantly, we hosted a college sports TV news show together for an entire year, UAlbany Overtime. You can catch some of the clips on YouTube if you just Google UAlbany Overtime. It's some of the most embarrassing work of my life. But Donna and I grinded together. We persevered through. We learned a lot. We spent a lot of late nights with each other, racking each other's brains, bootstrapping the entire operation. UAlbany is not a journalism school. They gave us no support whatsoever. So Donna and I leaned on each other heavily for the entire year. And we had a great time doing it. We had a lot of fun. And we have maintained close contact with one another. Anytime I'm in New York City, I make sure to get in touch with Donna to see her, to catch up. Every 3 or 4 months, we talk on the phone with one another, usually about our career, sometimes about our personal lives as well. Speaking of that, she's getting engaged. We'll talk about that soon. But Donna and I always talk about what's going on for us and where we want to go. And Donna, the past few years, has kind of been languishing in her role at MLB Network. She's been trying to think of a way to get out. What's next? She's always had this dream that she's been telling me about for years that harkens back to our UAlbany days. And even before I met her, she's always wanted to be on air. And she has finally landed an opportunity to do that. I will let her tell you about it. This is my conversation with Donna Conrad. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, Troy, thank you for the introduction. I'm really excited. I just was given a new opportunity. So I accepted a sports reporting position down in Bryan College Station, Texas. So, you know, I mean, for those who don't know, I was born and raised in New Jersey. So that is quite a move for me. But nonetheless, I'm excited, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
You are understating how big a deal this is. Not necessarily the position itself. I mean, College Station, for those of you who don't know, is where Texas A&M, the university, is located. It's a pretty big sports school, massive football program. They're really good at basketball and plenty of other sports. Right in the heart of the SEC, which is the best and most popular conference. The fans down there in the South are rabid. This is where Alabama is and South Carolina and all these other storied programs, Florida, Tennessee, etc. And so Donna's going to be right there in the thick of things covering all that. But what you didn't say, that not this specific job, but you know, in this specific market, but this field is what you've been wanting to do. This is your first big on-air opportunity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, I came out of school and obviously, you know, the two of us had, you know, similar goals. And then you really took off with the podcast situation and producing and all of that. And, you know, I started at MLB Network almost 4 years ago now, which I can't believe, really.
Time flies. Holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, I know. It's like so crazy to me when I think about just college in general, like that I've been out that long too. Cause, you know, obviously we're removed from it. And it, part of me is like, yeah, that was a while ago. But also I'm like, whoa, like I graduated over 4 years ago now. And I'm like, that's kind of crazy. But I started at MLB Network 4 years ago and I got my foot in the door to National Network and was doing a lot of behind the scenes stuff. And I had some great opportunities with just different projects that I got to work on while I was there. And I met so many amazing people that work there that from, you know, behind the scenes to the on-air talent there, who I now have a few mentors that have just really given me just such incredible guidance and advice, you know, on how to kind of navigate this field, which, you know, at times can be a little intimidating and kind of crazy. And sometimes I think, you know, everybody's path is a little bit different. And so I entering, you know, post-grad and trying to figure out what to do, I really wasn't sure how I was going to go about, you know, going after my goals. And so when I started at the network, it was kind of just, me trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to get to the next thing and kind of grow? And while I'm here, learn as much as I can, you know, from a behind the scenes standpoint, and then see what kind of goes on, and just how a big network like that puts on the, just all of the content and shows that they're producing, how it's done. And so I feel like I really got a nice start there. And then, you know, when the pandemic hit, I kind of sat back and I went, oh, like, I really don't know what I'm going to do now. Like, just, I wasn't sure. I mean, I wasn't sure in general what was going to happen with all of that and where the media, like television media field, was headed. And so, you know, I've had many conversations with you, obviously, about, you know, what do I do? What do I do? And you're always just telling me, like, if you want it, go try it, go after it, go get the reps. Like, you know what you have to do. And I knew what I had to do. I just, you know, I think part of me was just a little hesitant to go after, because, you know, it's been a dream of mine for so long to be on air and to be, you know, in this sports world. And I think the biggest thing for me was, well, what if I try this and I don't like it? Like, what if I try it for real and I don't like it? Or what if I try it and I'm not so good at it? And so, you know, it was one of those things that I had constantly, it was that internal struggle of, you know, back and forth. Do I go for it? Do I not? And you know, I remember calling you last October and telling you, listen, like, the UAlbany women's basketball team, I think I'm going to do sideline reporting for them for the whole season. And you were like, there you go. Like, that's what you've had to do. And so, you know, I started doing that and while still working at the network. So, I mean, I was living in New Jersey, driving 2 hours up to Albany, covering the game, driving home, showing up to work the next day. And then doing hitting lessons on top of that. I mean, it was really, it was a grind, but that 4-5 month span that I was doing that was, God, I just, like, it unlocked something inside. It felt magical. It did. Like, and I felt like, I mean, you hear people say all the time, you have to go do it. You have to go do it. It's getting the reps, right? People say that all the time. You got to get the reps. And it wasn't until I was actually getting said reps that I kind of realized, like, well, that's how you get comfortable. That's how you kind of face that struggle of, can I do this? You just have to literally go in front of a camera and do it. It doesn't get any easier just sitting behind and watching. And so, you know, I mean, luckily for me, I ended up absolutely loving it and apparently not being half bad at it. So, you know, I mean, the real start was with you and our wonderful UAlbany overtime show. But, you know, when you've been out of the game for a little bit and live TV is a little bit of a different animal. And so, you know, and now I feel like I'm droning, but to say the least, like, you know, this feels like a long time coming a little bit, I think, for me and probably you thinking about me ever taking this leap. And so, yeah, you know, when I got the offer, I thought, this is, I mean, what better opportunity than right now to just keep this thing rolling, you know?
Couple things. One, this thought that you had about not being good at it, lest you remember that you won the Host of the Year award for the year that we were doing UAlbany Overtime, which I was happy for you at the time, but I was definitely jealous and definitely a little bit upset that I didn't win Host of the Year. Not gonna lie. Two,
I don't know how I got that.
Two, just to clear it up, when you accepted this gig at UAlbany, driving up and back the same night, you were doing this for free, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You were doing this for free. That is something that I want to point out, that you were going to all these extra efforts, not getting anything really out of it other than just reps and things to put in your reel. For anyone who wants to get in this field or do something like you're about to do, it's kind of what you have to do. You have to accept less than unfortunate circumstances. You have to be willing to show that you will go the extra mile, that you will do the unglamorous things. That's what I did at ESPN. I signed up. I volunteered to do the things that no one else wanted to do. I doubt many people would have jumped at the opportunity that you had at UAlbany. It's those things that you have to do to get the opportunities, because that's what shows
people who are hiring shows them what you're made of. And that is what leads you to something like this.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny you say that because I feel like people think sports media and they think all glam. And I was having a conversation with somebody. Well, you laugh because we're in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody at work the other day, actually. And we were talking about the fact that so many people, like whether it be college kids or whoever, that come out of school, let's say, and go, I want to go into sports television or sports media or anything in that field. And then, you know, friends of mine, family, whoever was like, that's so cool that you work at MLB Network. Or I would tell like friends of friends, you know, yeah, I work at MLB Network. Whoa, that's so cool. And I think the funniest thing was then the follow-up of, wow, you must have a fun job. And yeah, don't get me wrong, like we have fun, but then they hear the hours and the days and the times that you have to work. And you forget that sports happen when? Nights and weekends. And so, you know, like then you think, well, wait, I shouldn't have to work those nights and weekends, right? Because, you know, I want to enjoy my life as well. But that's, I mean, that's just another thing to add with that is that a lot of people then hear that and they go, oh, I don't know if I could do those hours. And I'm like, yeah, listen, it's a grind. I mean, staying up until 3:30 in the morning during the week, not partying, sitting at a computer and waiting for stuff to come in is not glamorous.
So I'm so happy for you that you have this opportunity. This is incredible. I want to go back again to that time where you were kind of on the fence about taking the leap, as you said it. What was it that ultimately made you do it? Because so many people waffle in that territory for so long. They get so in their head about, oh, maybe this might not go well. Am I good enough? They make all sorts of excuses about why not to go after their dreams. People are afraid of getting uncomfortable, out of their comfort zones. They hate new things. So people languish in that space that you were in for so long. Why did you ultimately decide to go do something crazy, like do the sidelines for UAlbany, in less than ideal circumstances?
Well, it was a couple things. I think I just started to gain some confidence in the field. You know, when I was working on some things, on some projects at work, you know, I had some people there really, you know, tell me, hey, like you have a great eye for production and you really know what works. You have great judgment and sensibility. And so I started to think, you know what, if these people don't have to lie to me and tell me that, so, you know, maybe there is some merit to this whole thing. And then also you had somebody on your podcast who I believe is down in Charlotte on SEC Alyssa Network.
Lane, yeah.
Yes. And I remember you texting me and saying, hey, listen to this podcast that I just put out. I think it'll kind of answer some of the things that we talk about. And, you know, listening to her talk about just going for it. And something that she really stressed, which was, it's not going to always be perfect. Like you, it's impossible for anybody to be perfect. It's just, you feel like it's magnified because it's in front of a camera and other people are watching it, but people mess up at their jobs all the time. And I'm not saying like, oh yeah, you know, you have all this room for error. You don't, but things aren't always going to go 100% perfect every time. And you kind of have to roll with the punches and just keep going. And like, nobody's going to crucify you for like small things here and there. It's a process. And so, you know, that podcast, I remember listening to that and thinking, well, yeah, like I don't know, something clicked when I listened to that. And I thought, all right, like I got to make something happen. And so, and I thought back to that later on, like when I started doing the sideline reporting. And the funniest thing was, I think it was the second or third game that I had done. And the first one went like swimmingly. Like I couldn't believe, I was nervous as all get out as they're tossing to me after the first commercial break. And I remember that going pretty well. And then the rest of the game going super well. And I'm like, oh wow, that wasn't that bad. Okay. And then like the second or third game, I remember being on the court and they had tossed to me a little bit late or something, or the person that was calling like the media timeouts let them get started early. And so I'm on the court and they start playing behind me. And now all of a sudden I am mid-sentence. I hear them and I'm like trying, and I'm not on camera anymore, but I'm still talking. And I start like shuffling off the court while also like completely losing my train of thought. And I just remember thinking, oh my goodness, this must sound horrible to everybody that's watching this. And it was funny because obviously like my director was in my ear and she was like, it wasn't as bad as you're thinking. Like, I promise it wasn't as bad as you're thinking. But like, until you actually go experience that stuff, like how do you get better is really the thing. So getting back to what you asked me, I would say it was a couple things, but truly it was that podcast. I have to tell you, it was that podcast. And it was me going, all right, I can sit around and keep dreaming and keep dreaming. Time is not stopping. And so I was like, it's either, you know, you're at a point now where it's either you start to do stuff now or you're going to keep getting older and sit where you're at. And so I think it was kind of those things.
Big fan of what you just said right there. I'm a huge fan of taking the leap. I just put out a post on my Substack page about taking the leap. We're not getting any younger. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. That is something that you've learned in the past year that I've learned several times before. You got to do what you can do while you have the means to do it. And right now we are, and many of the listeners of this podcast are young, are untethered. We have, you know, we don't have so many responsibilities. Now you are getting married soon. We'll talk about that, but you still really don't have many responsibilities. You don't have any things weighing you down. You don't have many excuses, and none of us who really have all these big dreams really have many excuses or reasons to say no, other than we're just scared of it. Now, you've told us what your position is going to be, where you're going to be doing, but what actually are you going to be doing?
Well, it sounds like I get to do a whole host of things, which I'm really excited to be a part of. They have a red zone show down there on Friday nights for high school football, which gets me excited because high school football down in Texas is legit. I mean, you know, communities really rally around their football teams down there, and for good reason. They are really, really competitive. And so that's something that I believe that I'll get to be on in some capacity, you know, covering Texas A&M. A big thing that they stress that I'll be doing really is storytelling, you know, for, you know, it, whether it be news or sports, because I also am probably going to dabble into news as well. But something that they stress that I absolutely love to hear was the storytelling aspect, and that they really want that to be a key part of their sports department. And I couldn't agree more, because I've always felt this connection to bringing sports and human interest together and kind of blending those two worlds. Because I think, you know, surface level, a lot of fans are just watching the game, watching these athletes. I don't want to say as robots, but you're not always thinking, hey, that's a real person like me. Like, right. They take off their pads, or they take their cleats off, and they off the field, they go live life. You know, it obviously not the same for everybody, but they are human beings. And so I've always kind of liked to bridge that gap. And I think it's so interesting when you can take you know, somewhat of a superstar to say, or just really anybody that's being watched as a sports figure, and being able to pull a cool story out of that and say, well, here's what you see from them on the field, but you didn't know this about them off the field. Maybe they do something really cool. And then that also makes people who aren't big sports fans, maybe that makes them a fan, you know, maybe they like that one of the players for, let's say, any town, also does pottery. It's so random, right? But I'm saying if that's the case, you may find somebody who loves pottery who, is that a real word? Am I saying that?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's the example that came to mind, but you may find then now this person all of a sudden is interested in this person and their team. And I just think that that's such an interesting dynamic. I've always been very intrigued by sports documentaries as well. And that's storytelling on such a high level that, you know, if there's any way that I can bring that to a station, I told them, I said, I feel like that's a strength of mine. So I'm truly excited that I get to go find and share those stories with the community.
Now, what I'm not excited for you about, and I hate this topic because it's low hanging fruit, but I do want to discuss it with you. So earlier this year, I had someone on the show, a friend of mine, Jamie. Go listen to her podcast, Chicks and Dip. Great show. She got out of the new business, out of the news business. She was a news reporter in Georgia. After just 1 year, she hated the grind, but she also didn't like dealing with criticism from the public, aka old white guys being creepy and weird and, you know, like not attacking, but harassing, usually digitally, sometimes in person, a pretty face on TV. Is that something that you are thinking about? Are you prepared for that? Because there's going to be a lot of weirdos like who try to talk to you. Are you ready for that?
You know, that was honestly one of the things that kind of kept me on the sidelines, so to speak. Like just the idea that you're putting yourself out there and you know, you look at the internet nowadays and it's nonstop. People just finding the tiniest thing to pick away at and kind of, you know, tear people down and stuff like that. That was a huge, huge, huge reason for me that, you know, I didn't want to deal with anybody criticizing me or about my appearance or that I don't know anything because I'm a woman. And, you know, there's always that little stigma about, you know, women in sports casting don't really know anything. And, you know, if anybody knows me at all, that's not true. And I can attest to the, hundreds and hundreds of women, that I've worked with already in this business that's absolutely not true. And so, you know, part of me, that was something that I've thought about for a while. And then I also thought too, well, finally, I thought, who cares? Like, really, who cares? Why am I going to let these strangers that I will probably never interact with personally in my life dictate whether or not I go chase this dream that I've had since I was in middle school, you know? And I think that eventually it got to the point where I thought, I've looked at multiple of the women that are on air at the network, you know, I follow them on Instagram and I see the kind of comments they get and stuff like that. And they just don't pay any attention to it. And
really?
I mean, they don't get too many like bad comments, a lot of creepy people, yeah. You know, more than anything else, but you know, they don't let that stop them. And they're incredibly successful, smart, attractive people who are truly getting to do what they've set out to do. And so I think finally something just clicked with me. Again, I want to go back to that podcast that you did with Alyssa Lang, because she mentioned something similar about just like, I don't really look at the comments. And it's something that I was like, yeah, I guess I don't really have to look at the comments either. And if I do, and people are that way, you know, at this point, I think that I feel more bad for them than letting it affect me. Because if you truly, I mean, think about me and you, for instance, just in general, right? I would never, ever think to comment on anybody's post, regardless of who, if I had anything negative to say, I just wouldn't. I mean, that's not the type of person I am. So I think if you're in such a bad place that you have to go out of your way to try and put other people down who are doing something that I think is out of a lot of people's comfort zones. I think that there's a deeper issue with that person. And at this point, I just kind of look at that and say, like, well, if that happens, I feel bad for them. And yeah, I'm sure it'll bother me a little bit because nobody wants to hear negative talk about themselves. For the longest time, I felt like I was like numero uno at giving myself, you know, being too critical about myself. And so I think, I don't know, I just think that at that point, I couldn't let that be the reason that I didn't go after this thing.
I had a comment the other day to me, and I don't get too many comments simply because I don't speak too much on the various podcasts that I work on, but I finally worked up the courage to say something 2 weeks ago that was eating at me. I had a strong opinion I had to say about MMA, and I had so many people just rip me to shreds over what I said once I finally spoke up. Then I received a message the other day, called me a dumbass, like a bitch ass, know your role, they said, like, leave it to the host of the show to speak. It's not your job. Know your role really, really, really got at me because I had a coach, my high school basketball coach, used to tell me that all the time because he didn't want me shooting. He just wanted me to play defense. So know your role. I hate that. And, you know, you say, and I admire that you're not going to look at the comments, but you're going to. It's human nature. Every right. time I say I'm not going to look at the comments, I do. Oh, other people are talking about me. What are they saying? Are they saying good things? Because it feeds their egos. And then you ultimately do come across a lot of good comments, and that's great. But it's the negative ones that eat at you and stick with you. Because for successful, hypercritical people like you and I who examine how we're doing, it's those ones that stick with you more than the good ones, unfortunately. But that's how it is.
That's so true. And, you know, I've heard that too on various podcasts that I listen to. I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts. And so it was funny because I was hearing, like, on Two Bears, One Cave, which is one that I listen to all the time. And Bert Kreischer was talking about, you know, how he has to stop looking at comments because of all of the, like, he was like, you know, there's a lot of good ones, but there's also a lot of people who just say mean things, like, you know, just to say them. And he's like, you know, it eats at you, but even so, he is still a successful comedian. He still has multiple very, very, very successful podcasts. So I looked at it kind of like, wait, I'm listening to all of these people go out there and do things and they get criticized. And ultimately, they push past that and try not to let it affect them too much. And I just thought, you know, at some point, if I want to go do that, I have to be the same way. I know that I'm sure that I'll get some negative feedback and, you know, it'll sting. I'm sure of it. But at this point, I feel like I can't let those kinds of people just dictate my life decisions. And I also just think it's so, I mean, like the people going out of their way to find you, your Instagram and reach out to you. Like, could you imagine if, and I'm sure, you know what I'm funny is that that person probably has like 5 followers, no posts. Like they, I mean, it's probably somebody who's just sitting in their basement and has nothing better to do. And it's unfortunate that those types of people are even given a platform, to have grounds to say those things. But it is something that I've thought about. I try not to think about it too much. It makes me a little bit nervous, but I think, I don't know, I think ultimately it couldn't stop me any longer. I couldn't let that be the thing that kept me out of it.
I love that mindset from you. I am very excited for you in this opportunity. I know you're going to grab this thing by the horns, kill it. Now, I hate to get too ahead of ourselves here because you haven't even started the job, but what do you think you want your future to look like beyond your future, beyond what's going to happen for you in Texas? Because you told me it's going to be a 2-year contract.
Yeah.
And I don't know what will happen after that, but what would you like to happen?
That's a good question.
In your ideal world?
Well, you know, it's tough to say, and I don't know that I have a very clear picture of what happens after the next 2 years. You know, I don't know, but I think that as long as at the end of this 2 years, I still love it and I still have that passion that I've always carried with me about this, then I think whatever comes next, I'll be excited about, and it'll be, you know, it'll be great. It'll be a new opportunity. And I think at that point, now that I've taken this leap and I'm going to be driving 26 hours to my new home for the next 2 years, yikes, like after that, I feel like I've conquered the big thing now, and that anything that comes after that will be, just another step towards, you know, I don't want to say achieving what I set out to do, because I wanted to, since I was in middle school, I've wanted to be a sports broadcaster. But it is funny, as you get older and you try and sort out, you know, what your vision is, I think it actually becomes a little blurry first. Like, you don't really know until it's happening. And then, you know, I have a little bit better idea of a path now, but that's just because, you know, I just got this new opportunity. But we'll see what happens. But I think, you know, at this point, I'm pretty much game for anything. So
we'll see what happens. Game for anything. Good job. You're learning. That's great corporate speak for, I don't want to talk about my future. That's spoken like a true NFL quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what will happen next, but it's going to be fun, whatever it is.
We're on to Cincinnati. So 26 hour drive for you. That's crazy. So as I said, you're getting married. You're actually getting married in a year, in September 2023. So yeah, you're getting married in New Jersey, I think. Yeah. And you were living in New Jersey with your fiance, but now you two are moving to Texas in just a couple weeks here. So how are you going to go about planning a wedding that is very far away from your new home?
Blah, you're trying to stress me out. No, you know what? Actually, shockingly, that has not been a huge stressor for me.
Not yet.
You know, I've been engaged for 6 months. My fiance is incredibly amazing and wonderful, and all of the good possible words I could say about him, because when I came to him about the potential of, hey, I mean, he's known my goal since we met, honestly. Look, we're getting a little appearance from the big guy.
Oh, wow. That's not Ethan, your fiance. This
not,
is some
not
animal
my fiance,
that has emerged.
The ones that are just listening, my large husky shepherd, big dog, popped into the pic for a second.
Have you told him about the move? Is he ready?
He's going to be a Texas doggy, and he's cool with that, I think. I mean, we'll get him trimmed up before we go out there, because it's going to be hot. But
keep him away from, I forget what the Georgia Bulldogs mascot name is, but stay away from him.
Yeah, I think he's probably a fraction of the size of this guy. But no, Brooks will adapt well. He's for a cold weather dog, he also loves to sunbathe, so I'm not worried about him. He'll be fine. But anyways, back to Ethan. He is truly amazing. He has been just the most supportive person since day one of even meeting him. He was always saying that I should go after what I want. And you know, he's always said to me, he said to me the other day, which I'm going to get a little emotional, he said, I'd follow you to the ends of the earth. And, you know, to find somebody who's willing to put just any of their stuff aside and just pick up and move halfway across the country with you. I really lucked out with, you know, finding him and us kind of starting to build this life together. And he, you know, it's funny because, so that piece of it, you know, he was like, let's go. I told him Texas and he said, let's go. I'm ready. And I was like, are you sure? Like, are you absolutely sure that this is what you are willing to do? And he said, yes, I'm ready. Let's go. I'm excited for this new adventure. You know, we talked about before, we're young enough now where we don't have kids yet and we don't have a lot that's keeping us tied anywhere. So he's like, let's do this while we're young. Like, let's build your career now, you know? But as far as the wedding stuff goes, thankfully, I was, you know, a little bit nutty about planning all of this stuff once we first got engaged, and he was sitting there going like, all right, like relax, we don't have to figure all this out ASAP, but I sure am glad that we got all of our like major stuff booked, because, anybody who's getting married right now can tell you that the planning process is just insane. Yeah. And the prices of everything right now while you're planning a wedding is nothing short of insane. And so, so thankfully, I mean, I have a lot of the stuff booked already. Our venue is, I don't want to call it an all-inclusive venue, but it kind of is, in a sense that, like, I don't have to bring in a good majority of outside vendors. They take care of a lot of stuff for us, which is something I loved right off the bat when we went to, when we went there to visit. And so, you know, thankfully I have my family is in New Jersey. And so, and a lot of, and some of my friends, I should say, are still here in New Jersey. And so, you know, all of them are, you know, willing to help in any way they can. We're going to have to fly back up here for the wedding, which is, again, fine. I already got my dress, so that's another thing checked off that I don't have to do. You know, so, I mean, right now I feel honestly like I'm kind of in a lull period of, like, I don't have a ton of stuff to worry about. And I know it's going to sneak up on me before it. You can see our little, like, countdown thing right here. Oh, I don't think I don't think that that's, like, 100% accurate, because I feel like I change it every, like, few days when I remember. But it
says 347 days till the wedding. Yes. No big deal.
Yeah. Now it's probably, I think I changed that maybe yesterday, 2 days ago. So I think we're probably looking at, like, a 345 situation. But, you know, like, once the new year hits, then I'm probably going to, like, be free. And once we're down there, I'm probably going to be like, oh my God, what did we just do? Like we have this wedding. Oh yeah. But I mean, again, like, most of it's planned, and I couldn't say, no, I can't take this job because I'm getting married next year. That would be an insane thing. And so I was like, you know what? It's fine. It'll all be good. I mean, we'll come back for it, and it is what it is.
I'm so excited for you, and I want you to hit me up when you first have this thought. Because I remember when I first moved to Connecticut after my whole life of living in New York, essentially my whole life, I just remember my go-to drunk thought when I was drunk in Connecticut was like, when the fuck did I move to Connecticut? Like, when did I get here? You're going to have that thought when you're in Texas wearing your boots at a country bar. You're going to be like, when did I get here? How did this happen?
Well, to be fair, you know, that exact thing will happen because I was raised on country music. I've always felt like a special connection to Texas, obviously, because our Dallas Cowboys are down there. And that was one of the funniest things was telling the news director and the GM, like, you're not going to believe this, but I am a ride or die Dallas Cowboys fan. And they were just like, really? And I was like, yes, I am. And, you know, to a fault. But I imagine having that exact moment in a bar with line dancing or trying to learn how to line dance and going, oh my God, I moved to Texas. I was sitting on the couch yesterday and I looked at Ethan and I said, oh my God, we're moving to Texas. Like, hear me say that again. We're moving to Texas. I was like, are we really doing this? And he was like, yeah, we're really doing this. And I was like, you know, it's still something that I'm, like, trying to wrap my head around. And don't get me wrong, I am very excited. When I took any trip down to Texas with my family, you know, predominantly we were going down there for the Cowboys. But anytime I was down there, I always was like, oh, I could really see myself living here. And that's why when this opportunity came about, I thought, God, what better place to cover sports? And also, like, I've always said I could go live in Texas. So that was kind of like, you know, I definitely will have one of those moments because I'm already having them right now. And the whole no winters for the most part. It'll be brutal at points, but you know, the whole no winters thing, I'm not a winter person. I'm not a fan of snow. Ethan, being from, like, what might as well be, like, snow capital of the world, is also not about the snow. So both excited about that. We can play golf all year round, which is, you know, so an upside. And the only thing that I am kind of worried about is that I was looking at all the food spots down there. And as much as I'm going to miss all the good food in New Jersey, They have like equally as good food in Texas. It's just different. So like,
you're putting on 30 pounds for sure.
Yeah. And you know, I actually have to care really now about what I look like. So I'm like, the good news is, so here's the funniest thing is, you know, obviously a lot of things ran through my head when I got the job, right? When I got offered the job. And oh, hello, Brooks. And so I got offered the job and immediately my thought was, God, I wonder what kind of good food spots are going to be in this area. And no joke, within like a 2 mile radius, there's like 15 taco places. So I was like, okay, fantastic. Great. And I'm like, I love spicy margaritas. There's no shortage of that there. And then the next thing that I looked up was, is there an Orange Theory in College Station? Because I will need to be going to the gym every single day just to keep up with the amount of tacos that I've eaten. Because the last time I went to Dallas, my goal was, let's see how many tacos I can eat in 3 days. So there is an Orange Theory. There's two in College Station. So that's a win. Thank God. Right. And there's going to be no shortage of good food down there either, which I have told all of my family and friends, you now have yet another reason to come visit Texas. If not for me, for all of the good barbecue and burger spots and tacos and Tex-Mex and oy, it's gonna, yeah, trust me, I've been thinking about that too. I'm going like, I really can't afford to be hitting up too many of those places too often.
Well, I can't wait to come visit you and see how many tacos I can have in 3 days. I don't even like tacos, but I'll do it for you. I also, let me know your thoughts on your line dancing experience. I went to a line dancing country bar in Connecticut, of all places, and it was the trippiest experience of my life. My roommate at the time is from Arizona, from like this country part of Arizona, and so she grew up line dancing and knew what she was doing. And I swear, there is a cult around it, because mm-hmm. she just hopped right in, knew mm-hmm. exactly what she was doing with all these 50 other people singing songs I never heard before, doing moves I'd never seen before. They just all knew the choreography in perfect sync. I'm like, what is this? Where has this been all my life?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm nervous because, I know the songs. I'm well versed in country music. Things I am not well versed in, line dancing I won't be able to just jump in and start, you know, step in and move in and all that. I'm not the worst dancer, but I definitely, it's going to take me a while to get like choreographed routines down, but you know, give me some time and I will hopefully be a little bit more well-versed in the line dancing department.
I can't wait for you to be reporting out in the field and you do some gimmicky thing where they throw you out onto a line dancing floor while you're interviewing someone. I can't wait to see all those pieces.
Oh my God.
To bring it back to the wedding, this is just something I am curious to know, as I have, you know, a couple friends getting married or in the process of it. What exactly, in your opinion, I'd love to get into the mind of a woman here, is the role of the man in the wedding planning process? If you could give a percentage divide of the workload, because, you know, you always, like, this is the woman's day. This is her day. You let her do most of the thinking and planning around it. The guys really don't care. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but from your expert opinion, now that you've been engaged for 6 months, what do you think the divide should be?
Well, that's another great question, because what I think the divide should be versus what it is, I think are definitely two different things. I was told when we got engaged that, you know, he said, I don't want to sit back and let you do all of the planning because it is our day and I would like to be involved. And I thought, well, that's fantastic. Then I don't have to really stress about, you know, booking certain things, he's going to be on it too. And we're going to divide and conquer this together. And I can tell you that after being engaged for 6 months, that as much as a man will tell you that he wants to be involved, ultimately, if you're not making the calls and booking things, they may or may not get done. And Ethan, if you're listening, I am sorry, but it was really funny because he was like, give me some stuff to do. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm like, can you follow up with so-and-so? And he'd be like, yeah, sure. A couple days go by. So did you follow up on so-and-so? Oh no, I haven't done that yet. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to lose that person. We're going to lose this vendor, you know? And he's always like, give me some stuff to do. The one thing that he was hard pressed on for actually like a good, like 4 to 6 weeks was the color scheme, which I thought he would not give a single crap about. And then all of a sudden he was like, no, like we definitely need more colors. And I was like, what's happening? Why do you care about this? This seems like something that you would just automatically defer to me. And so for a while I was like, all right, well, here's a compromise I'll come up with. Like, do you like these? And he was like, yeah, that's good. And then after, you know, after a few weeks had gone by and I'm already now tracking with this is the color scheme we're going to follow. He was like, you know, actually I was looking at the original ones that you know what, if you want to do those, I'm cool with it. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. So those are, you know, those wonderful moments when you're planning a wedding that you're just like, okay, all right, that's, you know what, that's fine. And I knew everything wasn't going to be, super easy or even agreeable, but no, as much as he said he wanted to be involved with stuff and take on some roles, I'm sure I'll give him some stuff to do. But ultimately, if I want something done, I'm going to be the one doing it.
I would expect nothing less from you, Donna. It has been so great catching up with you. You have so many exciting things coming for you. God, your 2023 has potential to be one of the best years of your life. Wait, you got new job, new gig, you're gonna, you know, new home. Also, I can't wait to see what kind of place that you can afford, just given the crazy differences in rental prices in New York City area versus down south. Like, it's crazy. The places that I could be living in, these 4-bedroom palaces all to myself that I could have in Texas that I can't afford in New Hampshire. I'm very excited to come visit you for everything. I will let people know where they can find you and what channel you'll be on. And I'll put all your socials in the episode notes of the show. Don, I'm so proud of you. Thank you for joining. And we'll catch up with you again soon.
Troy, wonderful as always, and I'm excited for you to come visit me in the Lone Star State.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Found Generation Podcast, and thank you to today's guest, Donna Conrad. If you would like more from me, simply subscribe for free to troyfarkas.substack.com.